Get your family vehicles ready for summer driving with early Memorial Day deals at Dobbs. Click on GoToDobbs.com for money saver tire and service deals today. Dobbs, with 43 locations, real deals are always close by.
The news overnight here in St. Louis, Whitey Herzog, baseball royalty here in St. Louis, has passed away. We remember his life. We share some stories now with George Brett, who joins us via the 101 ESPN hotline. George Brett is, of course, a baseball Hall of Famer in his own right, played for Whitey Herzog in Kansas City from 1975 until 1979. George, we sincerely appreciate you hopping on with us today. Unfortunate circumstances, but we do appreciate the time. When you hear the name Whitey Herzog, the first thing that comes to mind for you is what, George?
Oh, the first thing that comes in mind was, let me see, one word or anything I want to say?
Anything you want to say, man. You can take this in any direction.
I would say it was the first time that I think a manager in the big leagues gave me confidence. His first day when he came over, the first thing he said to me, and I played against him a little bit, but the first thing he said to me is, George, you're hitting third and playing third every day as long as I'm freaking managing this club. Well, what does that do when you're 22, 23 years old? It gives you a lot of confidence. And prior to that, I was hitting, you know, kind of anywhere up and down in the lineup. But when he came over, it was just, I have all the confidence in the world in you. And as a result, that gave me confidence to go out there and play and not worry if I went 0-for-4 and not worry if I made it there because the manager had trusted me. And he got me at an early age, and I wish I had a chance to play for him longer. He had a little run-in with ownership here in Kansas City, but still to this day, one of my best friends, and he is going to be missed. I look forward to seeing him every year in Cooperstown.
George, how fast did you see the impact of Whitey's managing style impact that Royals team?
Well, when he came over, I believe it was 74, he came over, and, you know, we had a good nucleus, but in our division, we had the Oakland A's who won the World Series in 72, 73, and 74. I think those were the years. And the last 75, I think we had a pretty good run. 76, we finally beat the A's. So I think, no, they won in 73, 74, 75, and then we beat them. And, you know, the Oakland A's had Reggie, they had Catfish, they had Sal Bando, Joe Rudy, you know, they had all those guys. And we had a bunch of young guys, basically. It was myself and Freddie Podtek had been around. Frank White was just coming up. John Mayberry. And we had Al Cowens in the outfield. And, you know, just a lot of guys that no one had ever heard of before. But he was a great tactician of the game. And he just gave us confidence to go out there and play. And if you screwed up, you screwed up, but don't let it bother you, you know, your next at bat, or don't take your at bat to the field. And he just exuded a lot of confidence in us. And for us to beat the Oakland A's in 76 and then go to the bottom of the ninth inning of the last game of the playoffs against the Yankees and then do the same thing the next year, you know, go to the last game against the Yankees. And we were just a bunch of homegrown guys, a bunch of guys that maybe acquired through trade. I mean, I would love to see how good we would have been if our owner, Ewan Kaufman, would have ever tested the free agent market, because the Yankees would always go out and get that guy to put him over the level, their current level, and we never did that. We just kind of did everything through minor leagues. And, you know, if we could have done that, I mean, he could have managed in Kansas City for 20 years, probably.
We're talking to George Brett, Baseball Hall of Famer, here on 101 ESPN. The news here in St. Louis, Whitey Herzog passed away this morning. I do want to ask, George, like, just from a friendship perspective, right, away from the field, what was your relationship like with Whitey as you got later on in not just your baseball career, but now, you know, what's your relationship like with Whitey Herzog off of the field?
Well, he and I always had a special relationship. I got a call from his daughter Debbie, a couple days ago saying Whitey was in the hospital. I FaceTimed with him, 3 days ago. Then that night she said they were taking him into a hospice where he could get better care. I had a message this morning that he passed away last night at 10:15. I called her up, talked to her for a while, and she was over with Mary Lou, Whitey's wife. I talked to Mary Lou for about 10 minutes, but I was always very, very close to Whitey. He would always have me over for dinner in the off season, once in a while, invite me over for lunch prior to a game during the off season. I mean, he knew, you know, he has so many friends because he's such a great storyteller and was such a good guy. If you go bass fishing or crappie fishing or bluegill fishing, he had the best lake within 30 miles of the stadium. If you wanted to go quail hunting, pheasant hunting, chucker hunting, I mean, he knew everybody that had a farm, that had access to all the things that he liked to do. And man, I remember, I'll never forget the first time I went quail hunting and we were walking along and all of a sudden his dog Bandit goes on point and he's going, okay, George, get over there, get over there, get over there. And sure enough, man, the dog jumps in this little thicket. And you, I don't know if you've ever gone quail hunting, but the noise a covey of quail makes when it comes out of the thicket, it's amazing. And I dove on the ground. It scared the hell out of me, and he fired three times and got three birds. But by the end of that winter, I was a pretty good hunter. But I think every time I went quail hunting, I went with Whitey. Every time I went fishing, I went with Whitey. And then we would play golf together in the off season and stuff. So, you know, my friendship was a little different than I think a lot of other guys that played for him over the years because, you know, he kind of took me under his wing. I was, he came over in 24, I was 21, 22 years old and hadn't had a lot of major league experience. And so he was like my kind of father that I really never had in Major League Baseball.
I think the part for me, George, that I love most about Whitey, and you'll be able to speak to this, is I got to see him in the press box all of the time, sitting in the broadcast booth with Mike Shannon and John Rooney and Mike Claiborne. And it didn't matter who you were, whether you were a broadcaster or a player or if you were just some intern walking around. He would sit there. He would ask questions about you, but he would sit and talk baseball with you. And the guy loved ball so much that he could go on for a 45 minute to an hour conversation about one topic and never stop.
Yeah, I mean, he really respected the game of baseball and his memory was, I mean, unbelievable. Sitting around and having Hank Bauer, the old Yankee great, Al Zito, our old equipment manager, who was my equipment manager and a great friend of Whitey's, to sit around with them and have them tell stories. And it would, you know, stories would go like this. Hey, you remember that day back in 1949 in Gastonia? And that guy, oh, and Whitey would say, oh, yeah, Jimmy Jones. Yeah, God, the switch hitter from Mobile, Alabama. You know, you're going, oh, my God. But, you know, he was a good talker, but even more so, he was a good listener. And he always made people feel important.
George, do you have a favorite Whitey Herzog story from your time playing for him?
Yeah, you know, I mentioned this to him the other day on the phone, and then Debbie, his daughter, told me to tell Mary Lou this on the phone this morning when I spoke with her. When Whitey came over, you know, we started playing good, and, you know, Whitey used to have a flat top, and then all of a sudden he'd let his hair grow down, and his hair would kind of just fall straight, you know, straight down like, you know, like Larry, like Mo on the Three Stooges. and so we started calling him Stein one day because he looked like Frankenstein. And so all of a sudden, you know, we're winning and he's happy. He's joking around with all the players and stuff. And he goes, I know why you son of a gun are calling me Stein. It's because I managed like Einstein. And we all said, no, it's because you look like Frankenstein with that frickin' haircut, Whitey. And he came in the next day, he had a flat top.
So you guys influenced the way a hairstyle was for the manager. That's incredible.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, George, the one that I am curious about is what 1985 was like for you. Because, of course, you mentioned how impactful Whitey was for you in your career with Kansas City. And then that World Series where it was against the Cardinals with Whitey and you on Kansas City side winning that.
Well, I was really pulling for them because I would love to have the opportunity to play against them at that time of my career. And I'll never forget before game one, you know how that's a big media day, and I think it was the practices and some, and I saw him and we went over and shook hands and gave him, I think this was long before the hugs, you know, we weren't doing hugs back then, but it was a handshake. Hey, how's your family? All that stuff. Boy, this is going to be a fun week. Good luck to you. Stuff like that. Well, it's 3-3 and we're going in Sunday morning. We have game seven. And I couldn't sleep. I don't know if Whitey couldn't sleep, but man, I swear to God, I went to bed about 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning, and woke up. It was 20 minutes later. And I went back to sleep, woke up 10 minutes later, and I couldn't sleep. So I get up, and a friend of mine was the head coach of the Chiefs, John Makovic, back then. So I called John and I said, "Hey, John, I can't sleep. I want to get my mind off Game Seven. Is there any way I could come? Because they had a day game, and we game seven was Sunday night." He says, "Sure, I'll save you a seat. Just go to the ticket office, you know, the ticket. They know who you are, and go up and sit in my suite." So I go in there with one of my brothers who came in for the series, and we walk into the suite, and this is the honest-to-God truth. Whitey Herzog's in there. And so I sat with Whitey before game seven of the World Series. Very little baseball was spoken. We're just watching the Chiefs. And then about 2:30, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, he says, "Come on, George, we got a game to play." And we walked under the tunnel. There's a tunnel between the two stadiums in Kansas City. And we walked through the tunnel. We went down a flight of stairs. And we got off the stairs. He turned left. I turned right. And I said, "Good luck." He said, "Good luck." And that was it. And then game seven. But it was kind of ironic for me to be sitting next to Whitey the whole game for our seventh game of the World Series.
That's amazing. That's quite the story. George, final question that I've got for you. When you think about Whitey Herzog, Whitey Ball is the first thing that comes to mind, right? It's that speed. It's the defense. It's a very specific brand of baseball that his teams played, and he did not waver from that. Here in St. Louis, when they started playing a different style, he said, "I'm done. I'm not going to do this anymore because I'm not managing a team that will not play the way that I want to see them play baseball." What was that like to have a manager that?
Yeah, well, when he came to Kansas City, Kansas City was like St. Louis. It was a big ballpark. It was AstroTurf. He needed speed, you know, and so we built our team around speed. We weren't a home run hitting team until we went on the road. So we stole bases. I think when I was playing three years Whitey was manager, we had seven guys that could run steal whenever they wanted to. But if you got thrown out at a bad time of the game, he might take that privilege away from you. Me and Hal McCray could put on the hit and run whenever we wanted. I had a sign with him if he was on first, and he was hitting behind me, and I was on first, he would have a sign for me. And as long as you played aggressively and you played aggressively at the right time. You know, if he didn't want us stealing bases when we're down four runs, we needed to get some something going. And so we had a lot of speed, AstroTurf, and big fences. When he went over to St. Louis, what did they have? They had big field, they had AstroTurf, and they had to have speed. And he put together that team. I don't know what trades he made or whatever to acquire that stuff. But that team was, they were fun to watch. And that's something like right now, Whitey Herzog couldn't manage in this game. He couldn't manage. And I don't think a lot of those old guys could manage in today's game where everybody sits around and waits for a three-run home run. But he was sure fun to play for. And as an opponent playing against him in the 85 World Series, the only time I really played against him after he left Kansas City, I mean, it was tough. You had to be on your toes when you're playing against a guy like that. He was very well prepared going into every game.
George Brett is a fellow baseball Hall of Famer with Whitey Herzog, played for Whitey in Kansas City from 75 to 79. George, we sincerely appreciate you taking a little bit of time. I know this is a tough day for a lot of people, yourself included. So we appreciate you sharing some memories of your time with Whitey Herzog. We hopefully will be able to catch up with you again very soon.
Okay, thanks.